Mizmor. And beginning of Samachay says, Lamedzech Mizmor Ludavit Shir, L'chodumi Yasehila. Is the Mizmor referring to Golos? Is the Mizmor referring to Shaul, when David ran away from Shaul? Is the Mizmor referring to the years of famine? There were 3 years of famine, and towards the end of David's life, where people suffered greatly, and David was, and then a miracle happened, it began to rain, and David composed this Mizmor as a song of thank you to Hashem for bringing an end to the Tzara. So here we are describing over here where it says that obviously each one of the Mefarshim has what to draw from each idea of the three major ideas: Golos, the famine at the end of David's life, or David running away from Shaul. Each idea, there are psukim which support that idea to bring out the point. And you know, each Mefarish has its strong points and the weak points. So here we talk about rain. Over here, a lot of what we're going to talk about over here is about rain, and that certainly supports very much the Radak and those that want to learn that this refers to the time of the Batsores, the three-year famine. And it says, Hashem is Mechim, he prepares, Harim b'choychoy, with his might, Nezor, he is girded b'gvura. Gvura very often is a code word for rain. Okay, Gvuras Gishonim. And the mountains over here refer to the mountains. Hashem prepares the mountains, the matzniach. This is a common idea that's found in many different psukim, that the mountains, they sprout forth with vegetation. Let's read a few psukim. Mashbiach sho'oin yamim, sho'oin galehem v'hamoin le'umim. And what does the word mashbiach mean? If I wouldn't know better, I would say it means to praise. Shevach, to give shevach v'chaydah. But in this context, it means silence. Sheket. Sheket bevakasho. Please, everyone, be silent. Silence. Mashbiach here means silence. And we always say, a word in Hebrew often can go 180 degrees. The same exact letters, depending on how you vowelize them, can mean either go one direction or the opposite direction. So when we talk about Shevach, pray, this is a great example. Another one to add to the list, a long, long list of words that go 180 degrees. Yishrosh, that's probably the classic word that everyone quotes right off the bat. Yishrosh and Yisharesh. To take root versus to uproot. Same thing here. Mashbiach versus, what would be the other way to say it? I'm not even sure how you would say the other way, but in this context is Shevach. Shevach means praise. What do you do when you praise? You raise your voice to bring forth the milos, the good things, the attributes. What is Mashbiach here? Silence. I don't want to hear one word. Do not express anything at all. So the question here is, Mashbiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashbiach, he silences the She'oin Yamim. She'oin over here means the roar of the seas. She'oin, the roar, Galehem, the waves. V'hamoin, le'umim, and the commotion of the nations. Three different expressions of what over here we're referring to over here. If you want to go look like Rashi, then we're dealing over here with Golos. Well, so you learn like the first that we're dealing with Golos, the Golos of Klal Yisrael, then it makes them fits very well. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu here, with David, with Mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should silence the nations that make a lot of commotion, cause us a lot of tsar. Hashem should silence them, just like Hashem, he silences the noise of the Yamim, the seas, and the noise of their waves. Sometimes they make a lot of noise, they roar, and sometimes they're silenced. Over here we're praying that Hashem should silence them. Okay, let's see. We'll see the Mefarshim in a little bit more detail in a moment. Let's read another pasuk. Vayiru yoshei kitzavos me'oy soy secha. The people who live at the ends of the earth, they are terrified from your signs. What are your signs? What exactly is the meaning of your signs that we have to see soon? They are fear, motzoei voker v'erev tarnin, from what comes forth in the morning and what comes forth in the evening, they sing. On the one hand, they're terrified from your signs. On the other hand, when they witness what comes forth in the morning or what comes forth in the evening, they are happy. They sing. We have to see what that means. There are many mefarshim. Then pasuk yud, we'll do one more pasuk. One more pasuk over here is, maybe we'll do two pasukim. Let's see. Okay, we'll do two pasukim. Pakadeta haaretz, you visit the earth, vatishoy kekeha, and you bring rain. Hashem, he visits. What do you mean he visits? He remembers. Hashem pokad es Sarah. Hashem remembered Sarah. Sarah was an akara. Hashem remembered her, and Hashem brought her a child. Likewise, the earth is an akara. The earth is thirsty. The earth is dry, it's barren. Hashem remembers the earth, vatishoy kekeha, and Hashem brings upon it rain. Rabas ta'ashrena, with an abundance, does it enrich. Ta'ashrena means to make it rich. Does it provide it with nutrients and minerals. And this is an amazing thing, that the earth has the ability to replenish. It's an incredible part of the nefleis habore, is that you know, we know from the Gemara that if you work the land too hard, the land is depleted from its nutrients, and you have to let it rest. And when it rests, it regenerates its fertility, its nutrients. How does that happen? How does the earth have that koyach? That's part of the breath of the earth. The earth has the ability to heal itself. The same way a human being, we understand, is a tekazah called refuah. This Peshabas after Rifa'ini Hashem Ve'irofe, Hoshi Eini Vivashea, we say every day in davening, we take from that pasuk in Nusach HaTfilah. The same way that a human being has a koyach to heal itself, likewise the earth has the ability to heal itself with rest. So here as well, to Ashrena, Hashem, he makes the earth rich with Peleg, Vata Ashrena, fine, Kama. Peleg Elokim Mole Moyim. What is a peleg? A peleg is a canal, a water canal, an amas hamayim. Why is a water canal called an amas hamayim? Because in ancient times there was a standard. The standard size you make a canal is one amma. What's an amma? 18 inches. Whatever it is. 18 amma means from the tip of your elbow to your middle finger extended. So you put out your hand and you measure from the tip of your elbow to the end of your middle finger. How many inches is that? Approximately 18 inches.
Okay. The interesting thing though is an Egyptian, was an amma as a measurement, it was 22 inches.
How do we know that? They have very big arms.
That's the old history.
The Olympics.
They said it was
22
inches.
Okay.
That's because they had big fingers.
Okay, we don't know. This is an old machlokes to Chazonish.
Well, right. Between 18 and 24.
8 and 24.
Fits in nicely.
There, I think also when the Chazonish, this is in the Lear of Moshe Feinstein, when the Chazonish said 24, if I'm not mistaken, Chazonish never said 24. Like Rav Moshe never said that Seis HaKrichavim is 50 minutes. Remember, he never said it's 50 minutes, mm-hmm. And the Chazonish never said that 24 inches is an amma. Well, the Chazonish and Rav Moshe says that if you're already holding by 24 inches, you can be certain that you have an amma. What exactly is an amma? It might be 18, it might be 20, it might be 22. If you really libay noikvay, if you're holding by 24 inches, for sure you have surpassed an amma. If it's already 50 minutes after sunset, for sure you're past Seis HaKrichavim. It doesn't mean 50 minutes is Seis HaKrichavim. That until 49 minutes, oh, it's still young. No, it's if you're already holding 50 minutes, then you could assume you've already passed, because we really do not know when is halachically Seis HaKrichavim. We do not know exactly what is an amma. And if you really want to, you have no doubts whatsoever. So once you already got to that point in that length, or that point in time, you can be certain you've already passed the Zman of Tzei Sagram. Any event, and the word peleg, reading a peleg is kisham niflugu, means to divide. Kisham niflugu, the dar haflaga. Dispersion. So what is the relation to the word peleg and
separation?
Everyone Hashem dispersed them all over the world. 70 languages. They could not communicate. So what does that do with Amas Hamayim? I'm not sure. Amas Hamayim, what do you want to say? It's like a path. It's something which sends the water far away. You have a canal, and there's a flood of water. Egypt, what do they do? They spend the whole year preparing for the flooding of the Nile. When the Nile floods, so where does the water go? Well, if you're smart, you can control the narrative. You have a path, and when it floods, you direct exactly where the water is going to go. Right. So you go, you direct. That's called the peleg. It's an amas hamayim. Why is it called an amas hamayim? Because in Egypt, it was an industry standard. The width of this canal was one amma wide. So here we use that word peleg elokim malimayim. Hashem's canal is always filled with water. When a human being makes a irrigation canal, sometimes it's empty and sometimes it's full. In the spring, when the ice melts, then the amas hamayim is filled with water. In this late summer and in the fall, there's no more water. But the peleg elokim, when Hashem made for this world a channel, Hashem sends down mayim to sustain the world. It's always mole mayim. Hashem always in a state of tochin digonam. Hashem prepares their grain. Kichein tichineha. So have you established. Okay, tichineha in this context means you've established that's the way the world is. Right? Mitzvah of kichein darkecha. So have you established. Next, Pasuk Yud Aleph, one more Pasuk. Yeah.
Use that same word.
These all those words over here are words that are part of the lexicon of rain. Givura, a peleg, vatishoike keho. All of these words are words which are you know, grain, the tilomer, the furrows, next pasuk, rave, to satiate. These are words which are part of the lexicon of rain, of mayim. And every topic has its own set of vocabulary. The one pasuk, tilomer, rave, the furrows. You have a field, and the field, you know, when you plow, everything is in rows. The grain grows in rows. So the furrows, the rows, are called the tilamech haraveh. You satiate. You water. Naches gidudeha ber vivim. You have to read these words backwards. Ber vivim means light showers. You are naches. You cause to descend upon them. Gidudeha, her furrows. It's poetic. This tilomeha, her rose. With regard to her rose, the rose of grain, rave birvivim gidudeha. Do you satiate with light showers? Do you bring it down upon the word gidudeha really isn't just another word for the rose. We have to maybe look in the farsh and see a little bit more detail. And then the last thing we'll do today, if you look about simcha tivarech, what grows fourth is blessed. You bless Hashem. All right. We just read the words. We translated them very raw. Now let's see over here some ideas. What's really going on here behind the scene? Back to Pasuk Zayin. Page 556. Back to Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk is Mechon Harim Yuchaych Hashem. He prepares. You notice there's a lot of words here in these psukim discussing preparation. Hashem is always in a state of preparing. Nothing good, nothing happens instantly. Hashem created a world where Hashem is always, he doesn't do anything instantly. There's always a hayachana to prepare, to go step by step. Ba'asara ma'amarois nivra ha'olam. To establish. Okay, it means different things. Okay, it means it can mean different things. Okay, to, I mean, you establish the mountains. Mechin horim b'choychoy. You say that means to establish. Okay, you're right. There are different translations of how you want to learn the word mechin. Let's see the mitzudah stuff of the sukkim plus exayim mechin. The mitzudah stuff of the word mechin means who mechin motor rav Hashem. I'm assuming to translate loosely. He prepares an abundance of rain. Lavoids to water. There's all the mitzudos. The mitzudos, because if not for the mitzudos, you would not necessarily say that's what the pasuk means. You would say that Hashem creates the mountains. Like Rav Kalman, Hashem, he established the mountains. You drive up to the country, you see with your own eyes these massive mountains. Hashem has put them there. Hashem has established them. Okay, but the mitzudos doesn't seem to want to go with that interpretation. The mountains are already there. That's not what the pasuk is telling us. The pasuk over here is telling us something. The subject is what ikur chosar menaseira. We're not discussing the actual mountains. We're discussing the rain that falls upon the mountains. Who mechin motor rav Hashem, he prepares an abundance of rain. Liravois to water hehorim the mountains. Beroiv koichoy with his enormous power. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is girded with strength. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, that rain, I guess the trigger for the Mitzudos David is the fact that it says Gevura. And Gevura, in Chazal's terminology, is Geshem. Gevura is Geshem. Why is rain associated with the word Gevura, might? Why is it called might? I guess so. The civil interpretation is because when it rains, it's very mighty. No, the strong rain outside. You're not going to go outside. You're going to wait. You're going to wait it out. You can't fight. You can't fight with Mother Nature. When there's a very powerful rainstorm outside, you're going to get soaking wet. It's dangerous. It's slippery. Rain descends upon this earth with Gevura on a very simple level. Before you go into anything esoteric, just that's how it comes down. Hashem prepares rain with Gevura. Pasuk Ches, Mashpiach, Mashkit. Virtually all of the Mefarshim on this page, they translate the word Mashpiach exactly the same. They all translate it to me like on the Shparuch Hu, he silences. He's Mashkit, Umashpil, Hem Yas Hayam, he silences and lowers the roar of the sea, v'galav, uchmochin. Similarly, mashpiach Hashem, he silences hemyas leumim hahoimim lechaloisenu. Okay, so over here you see over here these pesukim. Over here you're getting an idea of all the different mefarshim, the different mefarshim as what is the subject of this mizmor? Is it referring over here to the batzores, or referring to galus? They're all here in this one pasuk. Hashem, he prepares rain for the mountains with his might. Nezer begvura. Because the second part of the previous is because Hashem has Gevura, and Gevura, rain needs Gevura, and then Hashem, he silences the Yamim, the Sho'in Galehem. I mean, what is the connection exactly? And it's just poetic, describing different things Hashem does. And then according to the Mitzudos, he says, V'hamoin l'umim. Similarly, Hashem, he silences the noise of the nations of the world. The Ummah Yisrael make a lot of noise. They make a lot of noise in threatening.
Like the war that was now, nobody knows, the Leumim didn't say anything. Go ahead, hit them. They did not condemn Israel this time.
This time?
This time,
yeah. Yeah, they did it? Not possible. I'm sure they condemn.
Pull them up. They'll already go and change their mind.
America's out to sleep. The one that had broker a peace deal is Egypt. Isn't it amazing? America's mom is America is out to sleep. Out, totally gone. Totally gone.
It's a symptom of the administration.
No, it is, exactly. Exactly. Out to sleep. Totally out to sleep. They had an article this morning, 40% of the Biden's administration was on vacation. 40%.
What?
Of Biden's time in presence so far, he's been on vacation. And they demand, the Congress demanded logs.
Oh.
logs of what exactly they've been doing 40% of the time.
They
refuse to hand over the records of what exactly he's been doing 40% of the time. Anyone have a job where you don't have to come 40% of the time? Anyone know such a thing? Okay?
Yeah, me and Dove, we
had jobs. No accountability. Eric Schultz, a big sakana. Eric Schultz, a very big sakana. All right.
40% you didn't have to show up.
Let's wrap ourselves over here. So here we have here. Okay, let's over here. Here we have here. Okay, so this according to the Mitzvah, the Kodesh Baruch Hu silenced the same way Hashem has declared to silence the Yamim, to silence their waves. When does Hashem silence the Yamim and the waves? I guess when there's a very big storm. Hashem brings an end to the storm. So too Hashem has the power to silence the noise of the nations of the world when they make trouble, they raise their voice and they threaten to destroy the world or to destroy Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the koyach. Look into nature. Look into nature as a mashal for your relationship to Hashem. This is a very, very interesting idea that according to the Mitzvah David, David over here, this fits very much into all the paintings on the cover of many tilims. They have these pictures of David HaMelech with a harp out in the forest, beautiful scenery, beautiful background, and look at nature. In nature, you will discover the same way. There's a parallel between Hashem's hanhaga with nature, with Hashem's hanhaga with human beings. Nature, there are storms, there's violence, there's chaos. And Hashem, eventually, he silences all the chaos in nature. Likewise, that is a mashal, that there are times in this world when the goyim are violent and they roar and they make trouble. It's not forever. Ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will silence them and there will be peace and tranquility. Next pasuk.
The rain is an amazing thing. Think about it. Thousands and thousands of pounds of water are over. Any other object coming down from such a...
Would kill a person.
Yeah. But yet, it's spread out, it comes down.
Gvura. Oh, so you say the Gvura Yis Taishin is a Zeo Gibor. HaKoivesh Es Yitzra. HaKoivesh, so therefore the amount of power that's present in the clouds can L'Choira should obliterate the earth. And yet when Hashem sends it down, it's B'Gvura. Koivesh Es Yitzra. Gently. Berevivim. Light showers, no one gets hurt, no one gets damaged, it's pleasant, it satiates the earth. It depends. But you're giving a taich in gevura. Why is rain associated with gevura? Because if you objectively, you would assume that rain is lethal. Lethal, like you just said, the amount of weight, pounds, and the height, the gravity, the more height you have, the faster the gravity, the faster it falls, the more lethal it should be. And yet, miraculously, drop, no one gets hurt, the streets get clean, and the earth is satiated. It's an incredible thing. Gvura is Zehu Gibor HaKoivesh Es Yisrael. Every time you see it rain, you realize it's really lethal. But yet, Hashem makes it come down gently, and no one should get hurt. And that is a dogma of the way Hashem deals with humanity. Really, we deserve a lot worse. And Hashem is koivesh es yitzro. He holds back. He holds back, and he gives us musar very gently in order to awaken us, to improve us, that we should be better people. Excellent. I never thought of it like that. Okay, now going back to the Mrs. David, next pasuk. Okay, now we come to pasuk Yutes. Now this is a big, big topic here in all the Mefarshim. It says here, the people, the inhabitants of the Kitzavais. The Kitzavais means the ends of the earth. They are terrified. They're afraid. Vayireu shvana. Two yuds. Vayireu yoshvei kitzavais. Those that live, the inhabitants of the ends of the earth. Kitzavais. May o so secha, from your signs. What are you talking about? What is the meaning? It has to be the word ois means it's a metaphor, A sign. What sign? What are you talking about? What are we dealing with over here? So everyone's going to struggle here with this. The Mitzudas David says, Pasuk Tes, Me O So Sechav, Ali De O So Sabrakim V'Hori Omim Yifchadu Mimcha Yoshrei, those that dwell B'Tzoy Saretz. He learns very simple. Chazal say, the only reason why Hashem created such a thing as thunder is Liyasher, a kemilus shebelef, is to straighten the crookedness of the heart. Okay, everyone had it. I'm sure you had that. Every experience, every so often, when there's a thunderstorm, and there's a bolt of lightning followed by a massive sound, and you hear that you see that bolt of lightning, and you hear that sound. You know, it affects you. It affects you, and it humbles a person. It humbles a person. Chazal said that's exactly what it was created for. That's the purpose. To liyasher, to straighten the crookedness of the heart. So that's what it says. It says perfectly into the pasuk. What more do you possibly need? What other perush do you possibly need? We are describing rain. We are describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears the rain with koyach, this gvura, and he silences. Okay, Aaron, pasuk ches, a little bit difficult what it's doing there, how it fits in, but pasuk yud, when you see bolts of lightning and you hear the thunder, oh, vayiru yoshvei kitzavois me oi soisecha, thunder, lightning, you realize there's a higher authority that has power.
Is he limiting it to only the end of the earth or everything in between?
I think it means even the end of the earth. That's what it means to the extreme. Even in Flatbush, even in the center of the, you know, we're living over here, the center. I remember many years ago, they have the mikveh next door, right?
Mm-hmm.
People park in the mikveh. So I remember this goes back before you were born. and they came to my father. My father was a rabbi here. And money, hakesef yanes hakol. And there was a major, major fundraising event to raise money for this mikveh. Okay, a major fundraising event. What? Kevelson, he told me himself that he did not give too much money. He told me they put his father's name on it, lechvod his father.
You can't pay anybody living in Flatbush at that time, because I remember,
right,
to donate to
that. Right, it was a big, big event. And there was one balabas that was, who moved away to Lawrence, who was very involved. Once when I went down my father's shul, he was very involved in this. And of course, Kevelson, that's right, Kevelson, he was his... The rabbi, next door to across from Rabbi Rotner, Kevelson was very involved in that mikveh. The old mikveh, still there. He's 15. Yeah, that was his like mamish, his pride and joy. But he was very involved in this one as well. He told me. So I don't know what he told me. He told me, but they put his father's name on it. About his father, whatever, whole story, whatever. But when they came to raise him, so they did before they built this mikveh, they spent a lot of money. They hired, everything is a specialty, a consulting firm, to analyze the neighborhood, to find a central location in Flatbush. It should be in a center. They're going to go put $1 million to go build a mikveh, and you know, we're going to build a mikveh. Where you can go build it in Bar Park? You want to build a mikveh for people in Flatbush. Where is the ideal location, the center of gravity in this community for the front people? And the maskana was right here. The maskana was this corner was considered by this professional company, this consulting company. They paid them a lot of money to analyze the demographics, who's going to use the mikvah, and where would be an ideal location. Also, you know, we want some privacy. We want privacy. It's a very big problem over here with privacy. It's not a good thing over here. People don't want to be seen coming to the mikvah. Privacy. Yet, it should be at least, you know, it should be private, but it should be accessible. Accessible to the average person. And this was mamish considered to be the center of Flatbush. So here we are, Rabbi Isai, we're in the center of the world. Tibur
Eshalaretz. Before they built the mikveh, the young Israel did not have windows. And then that's part of the reason why they built it on the ground. I know that.
There were no. What do you mean? There were no windows. No one could look. But they come.
They had by the iron. They had like a piece of glass going across.
there were no windows over there.
Okay.
On both sides.
The guy who owned
so
the building.
Part of the reason, I think that's why they built it. They built it over.
What was the courthouse?
He wasn't here that time.
He bought a house.
He had someone else.
Four times this time.
Okay, whatever it is over here, okay, this is a joke. Everybody, let's get back into our, gets back out into our sugya. May oy soy secha. Oy soy secha are, according to the Mitzvot David, it refers to thunder and lightning, like what it says in the Gemara. So everyone from to the ends of the earth, they're terrified of the thunder and lightning. On the other hand, motzoei voiker voerev tarnin. They rejoice. Now, what is this according to the Mitzvot? They rejoice in the rising of the sun and the coming forth of the moon, Mitzudos David, Motzoei, on the next page, page 558, Motzoei, Hame'oyos, Hayoitzim, Lichoir Baboiker of Erev, the lights that come forth to give light in the morning and the evening, Hayitzir Hahi, to Oirer Lev, Habrios, it arouses the heart of the Brios, Loranein Lichot, to sing to Hashem, Kasher Yiru, Shelo Yishanu, when people see, Yiru, not Yiru, they see Shlosh Yishanu es Tafkidam from Kiddush Shalvan, they do not change their orbit. And this is a very, very beautiful pasuk. The pasuk over here is saying over here is that in there are, again, there's a lot of beautiful ideas in the Malbim, we'll get to it a little bit soon, is that in this one pasuk we're describing things that are natural, that are predictable, and things that are not predictable. It is predictable, the sun's rising. We can have a calendar. You know to the split second exactly when the sunrise, when it's dawn, when it's Yisrael Chavim, and the moon. There's going to be a red moon today, and this moon, that, you know, everything is predictable. This gives a person, according to the Mitzvot David, joy. Now, let me now go a little bit further in I think what the Malbim says. It's an incredible idea. It's a very powerful idea. Why did Hashem make the world? Hashem could do anything. We know that. Why did Hashem make the world where everything is in motion? Everything is in motion, 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 motion. It could drive you crazy sometimes. Everything is in motion. Get dizzy. The earth is spinning. The earth, the moon goes around the earth. And the moon is also spinning. Okay? And the earth with the moon is going around the sun. And the planets are going around the sun. And the sun is also spinning, supposedly, some to the side of the sun. Everything is moving, 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 moving. Get dizzy. Why couldn't Hashem just make the world just sit down? Can you imagine the shiur over here? Everyone's getting the whole shiur, everyone's walking circles. You walking this way, you walk that way, you walk this way, that. You go, Meshuggah. You know, I need some peace and quiet. Just everyone sit down, calm down, no movement. Why didn't Hashem make a world where everything just, you know, quiet? Quiet. In computers, it used to be everything was to move. Anything, there's a rule in engineering. In engineering, the rule is anything that moves will break. That is the way the world, a car has how many moving parts? Now it's more technology, there are less moving parts. Okay, but if an engine, turbine, everything is moving, 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 moving. Everything moves. Every little part of
it.
It's scary. This is the rule of life. Anything that moves will eventually break. Okay, a disk drive. Now, see, you know, I would never, you buy a disk drive, you buy a computer, only get, I'm telling you good advice, only get a solid state drive. You have a disk drive, the old disk drives, you hear them, they spin like a record. Right, the old, they still make them. They're very common still. You know, a disc. And what's going to happen one day? It happened to me a few times. It doesn't work. You turn on the computer, it doesn't work. You can't even get your data. Why? Because it spins, 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 spins. And there are a lot of little parts. And eventually, it stops spinning. So you get a solid state drive. Nothing moves. Nothing moves. Everything it's all electronic. There's nothing moving. That is very safe. Nothing is safe, you know, everything can break, but why did Hashem make a world that moves? Everything is moving, moving, moving. First of all, it's an amazing thing that by Hashem, it's not like human beings. Human beings, when something moves, it will break. Guaranteed. There is friction, and it will come a point in time when it doesn't work. No matter what. Nothing lasts forever. Hashem made a world that moves, it never breaks. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything spins.
Without noise.
There's another thing. Things that move make noise. Hashem, it's no noise. It's an incredible thing. That what Hashem made a Bria, and Hashem is where everything is moving, and nothing ever breaks. It's always perfect. With precision, all the stars, I mean, everything is moving. It's unbelievable. But B'chal, why from our perspective, we live in a world where we see things move, we just get dizzy? And the answer is, this is what the Malbim says, you have to read the words inside, and the Rashi, and the Mizuz, loose with just a little bit. It gives you an awareness that there is a manic. It's an incredible concept. It subconsciously helps you have faith in Hashem. If a person will live in a world where nothing moves, how did I get here? Big bang. The big bang. Everything just, there was an explosion of chvei, some matter, and here we are. And that's it. It's like a desert island. Gilligan's Island. Here we are. That's it. The fact that you see the sun rise, the sunset, the moon, the stars, you can detect movements. This triggers in a person's mind an awareness that there is a manhig. It is a tool, a gift that Hashem gave to humanity to help him appreciate that there is a creator. Hashem didn't need to make the world in motion. Hashem can make the world just dead. Like a dead island with no hakara that there is any movement. The fact that there is movement in this world is a gift to make it easy for a person to be makir in the same way the sun is moving from our perspective, and this is happening, that is happening. Oh, there's someone in charge. There is a being that makes things happen, makes things move. There is reward, punishment, there are consequences, there is activity happening in this world. That's an amazing thing. I never appreciated that until I saw this, what this says here in the Malbim. We have to read this inside. Mitzudois, he says something similar. He says that the Motzoich HaMo'oiros HaYotzim L'Hoyim HaMo'oiros HaYotzim HaYitzia HaHi, the fact that the sun rises, T'Oirer, it arouses. It is a tool of stimulation. Human beings need to be stimulated. To oirer, it arouses leiv habrios l'rane in l'chot, to sing to you Hashem, kasher yirush lo yishanu es tafkidam. And also, it's another very fascinating is, a person needs to have a stable environment. They always think about children. A child, more than anything else, needs to be put in a home of stability, of predictability. You come home, there's a mother, there's food, routine. You take a child and you put him in a home of chaos where he doesn't know if a parent's gonna be home, and he doesn't know if there's any food on the table, he doesn't have what to eat, and there's no security, there's no stability, it's a horrific thing. A child needs a place of stability. To have be rooted in where things are predictable, things are stable. We are all children. We need to be in a world where the cycle of the sun, the moon, and the stars is predictable. That creates for a person a healthy frame of mind that we are in a world that is stable. Oh, but all the Meshugoyim are doing crazy things. Okay, that's another problem. But the fact that you are in an environment where you see order, Shelo Yishanu Es Tafkidam, all the items in the heaven, they're all perfectly coordinated and they never miss. This trickles down to the subconscious of a human being. We're living in a place of stability. And that allows a person to grow and achieve. Because if we were living in a world where nothing moved, everything is just the same, you go crazy. You don't get that sense that there is stability, things are normal, things are expected. We don't even begin to understand how the nature of the human condition, and how would we have all of the things that we have, how it totally keeps us normal. Keeps us normal, the fact that Hashem made the world in motion, and everything in motion is perfectly in order and predictable. This gives a person an incredible sense of joy that otherwise we wouldn't have. We have to ask ourselves, see, we live in the modern world today. In the modern world today, you don't even have to know there's a sun or a moon. Can you imagine, you live, a person, let's say you work in a hospital, okay? Work in a hospital 24/7, and you never walk outside. Okay, so the lights are on 24/7, the air conditioning, you don't know if it's raining outside, it's a big, massive building. You know, sometimes, you know, it's a person that spends like a week or two in the hospital with someone in the hospital, and you don't leave. You don't know what's going on. You're living in a different world. You don't know if it's night, if it's day, if it's raining outside, it's cold, hot, warm. You go live in a submarine. Can you imagine? You live in a submarine. You're living in a closed environment where you don't see nature. You don't see a cycle. You don't see movement. It affects you. And we go outside, this, that, but to a certain degree, we also shelter ourselves because we have all this technology where we have electricity and lights, and we live in a world where we also try to a certain degree to isolate ourselves from nature. What would be if for 1 month we would live outdoors, an outdoor life? How would connecting to nature subconsciously affect a person in living and seeing a perfect cycle? How would that affect a person's frame of mind in his life? It would be different.
You just have the story of Lana, the guy that was underwater longest than anybody ever.
Yeah.
Lived underwater. It just came out.
People in the space station, they go there for months, up there. I mean, I don't know how they live with it, it's terrible, no gravity.
They have windows, they can see what's going on.
So this is what it says over here. It says over here, now on the other hand, and what is the most terrifying thing? What is the most terrifying thing in this world? Things that are unexpected, things that shake you up. Thunder and lightning, the oisoisois, things that are not predictable. That terrifies the person. This pasuk over here is an incredible pasuk according to the Mitzvah of Zephrenic over here. A person is describing the frame of mind of a human being. A human being, when he sees things that are predictable, he sees stability, he sees a normal, healthy cycle. Shlo yishanu es tafkidam, what we say in the Kiddush Levana, you see the whole Bria, everything is perfectly in order. This is tarnin, joy. And when suddenly the unexpected happens, there's thunder and lightning, terrifying sounds that are not expected.
Natural disasters,
this yiru'u, this terrifies a person. These are the two spectrums. There is fear and there is joy. And fear and joy we're taking a person, putting them in the Bria. And how does a person relate to the Bria of thunder and lightning, which are unpredictable, natural disasters, versus predictability in the Bria? This provides joy. Do we really appreciate how this affects our lives? How affects our lives? It's not even possible.
One maybe belongs to the goyim.
Okay, there are many
perushim. And this one,
Motzei Boker Va'er, you're saying maybe we're Rashi. Right now we're doing the mitzudas. You're saying very good. You're saying beautiful ideas. So we're first to get the pashup shot. The pashup shot. That's what he's going to talk about in the mitzudas Rashi. The pashup shot, according to the mitzudas, we're just describing over here a person is a guest in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tailor-made this world to perfectly put a person in a proper frame of mind, a balance of knowing how to be afraid and knowing when to experience joy. Okay, the world, the environment, and there's a lot of all these different things of how a human, we like to think that a human being has no connection to this world, right? Like an Adam, Hashem made an earth, it has its rules, and Hashem made a human being, and Hashem just plucked him over here on this world. If Hashem would have taken a human being, you put in any other planet, you wouldn't survive a second. Gravity, everything in the body is tailor-made to fit perfectly into this earth. Adam is an oilam katan. People can make a mistake. There's a big bang, right? So there's Hashem made a creature, there's a human being, and then there's an earth. No, so take a human being and go put him on some other planet. Okay, just, you know, make a few little adjustments. No, you can't make a few little adjustments. Every single little detail, b'li yoytzei min haklal, that exists on this planet, relative to this whole solar system, is tailor-made to enhance of the existence of a human being. You cannot go and take a person and put them in Mars and just give them an oxygen tank. It doesn't work like that. You'll give them an oxygen tank, so they'll be able to live, you give them food, but the environment is so foreign to his mind, he'll crack up. He's not going to be able to survive. He'll crack up because everything about this world is perfectly tailor-made to the frequency of a human being. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. One more pasuk. Now we go to pasuk. We go now to pasuk Yud, Pakadita, Be'esha Tashkisheh Tashgiach Bo'aretz LaHashkoisa. When you, Hashem, you pay attention upon this earth to provide it with rain, as then Tashir Oisa Baharimata, you enrich it. Hashem is generous. Hashem makes you rich. He enriches the earth with an abundance of rain. Peleg Elokim. The word peleg means amas hamayim. We said that. It means a canal. Habala me'elokim hi milei hamayim. Hashem's irrigation paths are always filled with water. Tochin. Uvozeh tochin. And through this, Hashem prepares the digonam, their grain. Kichein dar kicha. Lichachin hadagon al yidei ribu yamato. That's Hashem's way. Everything has cause and effect. Hashem prepares the dagon through an abundance of rain. Pasuk yid aleph. Tilamecha raveh. Bima. Shetaspia. Talmei hasadeh, this that you satiate the furrows of the field, yiyeh nachas ligdudecha. So when I told you the word ligdudecha, I told you it's another translation, another word for the word tilamecha. So that's not what the Mitzvah says. But I told you, certainly other mafarshim say that on the page here, but right now we're learning the Mitzvah, and the Mitzvah says the word ligdudecha refers to humanity. Humanity. Look in the Mitzvah, look.
Your legions,
the people, human beings, the brios, lig du derohem habrios hamahalchim moretz. When Hashem, he nurtures the earth and provides produce, provides sustenance, this sustains humanity. This sustains not only humanity, all the creatures, everyone, all of the creatures that Hashem created. In other words, rain is the ultimate source of nourishment for the entire world. It rains. When the rain comes, things grow. And when things grow, every creature on this earth has its food and its sustenance. That's how he learns. This pasuk, Tilamech Raveh, Hashem, he saturates the furrows of the earth. And by doing so, Naches, Hashem, he provides naches. Naches means to guide. Let's get a better precision with the word naches. It seems that we'll translate the word literally over here. Naches means, I guess, he guides or he sustains. I'm going to loosely translate it as he sustains. Nacham, is that the same word over here? But is that the same word over here with the saf? Could be. Naches, let's just for right now translate it, is that he sustains the gidudecha, the legions of the earth. It sounds like, you know, some type of cartoon, a superhero story. The legions of the earth, which means all of the creatures on this earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains by providing an abundance of rain that saturates the furrows the vegetation.
Did Nachas mean give serenity?
Could be, yeah. It has a lot of different flavors, like you say Nachas. We use this all the time, Nachas. You should have Nachas from the Kinderlach, from the...
Or, maybe Nach, rest.
Naches, Nachas.
Serenity.
Okay. But here, it's over here, it's a tzere. It's all related, obviously. It means to provide, okay, serenity by Hashem sustaining, providing rain and satiating the earth. Automatically, the result is there is produce, and every living creature has serenity in being sustained by Hashem. Next, Bir Vivim. Now, this is a new sentence. According to the Mitzvah, the new sentence, Bir Vivim Te Mog Gena. With light rains, the word Bir Vivim means a light shower. It's not, you know, you can walk to shul, and you can't walk to shul if there's a hurricane or a tornado, but you can walk to shul if there's a light rain. Bir Vivim Te Mog Gena. Te Mog Gena means soft. Soft, brivim al yidei har brivim timoygeg v'sartev es radama, through light showers, the earth becomes soft and absorbs the rain, uvzeh, and through this, simcha, the produce, tivareich, is blessed. If Hashem would send down rain violently, then it would destroy the earth and nothing would grow. If you send down a mist, it's also not going to grow. It has to come down like Goldilocks. Goldilocks, not too little, not too much. It has to be just right. When Hashem provides, when Birvivim, when there's going to be Birvivim Timo Gigena, when there are light showers, Hashem softens the earth, and that's just right, not too much. And then Simcha Tevarech, the earth is blessed. Right, it means the tzimcha means the growth. Yes, correct, that's what we said. The growth, we'll just read it backwards. Tivareich, you Hashem, you bless simcha, the growth, the produce of the earth. Okay, so we went to the psukim, Pashup Shalom. I'll read it very quickly one more time. The Pashup, these are very hard psukim. Okay, appreciate this psukim, Mizma, whoever heard of Mizma Samachay. I never learned this before, never heard these psukim before. These are very difficult psukim to understand what's going on over here. So again, we have to remember there are three, we always come back, what we learned today so far is we always come back to know, you have to know what is the topic of the Mizmar. We have three mahalchim in this Mizmar. Are we discussing a time? David is giving a shir, a song for what? Either a song to thank Hashem for the end of the drought. There was a 3-year famine. And when the 3-year famine came to an end, David composed this mizmar as a thank you to Hashem for sustenance. And obviously, the psukim that we have learned over here today very much fit into that theme. We are describing the gevurois kishamim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu with incredible chachma, everything is perfect.
In Bachi Nafshi, there's the same kind of style.
A similar style.
Describing nature. The mind will be up and down.
The cycle, the water cycle. Okay, everything they know today in science, David knew a lot better. Yeah. You see, all the chacham over here is the psychology and science, and everything is in Tanakh.
The Talmud Menorah has a long explanation of the water cycle.
It's all in the Torah. Hafeichba du kuleba. And then the other interpretation is Golos. We are describing the end of Golos. Okay, the end of Golos, and it's hard to really understand how these psukim relate to Golos. The only thing that's obvious is where it says, "V'hamoin li'umim," Hashem silences the nations that make a lot of noise. And the other interpretation was, "Shol," and that's a tough sell over here. What in the world does this have to do with Shol? The truth is, and the mafarshim that say Shol, they answer very simply, and they say, I'll tell you the secrets now, no secrets, but just to get an appreciation in advance, is that when Shaul pursued David, one of the great the horrors of this was he killed Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim, 85 Koyhanim in the city of Noiv, because they gave David food and they gave David a sword. And when Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim came to an end, because they were all killed, all the people who made Parnassa, the Givonim, the Goyim, who made Parnassa, they lost their jobs. Okay, when they shut down Twitter, all these people lost their jobs. They lost their jobs. All the people, they lost their jobs. So they had a major, major complete. These people, they provided water, they provided food, they provided fuel. There's a whole industry.
That's why Shaul's sons were
killed. Oh, exactly. So there was a plague. There was a plague, and there was she'elas chaloyim. I don't remember all the details. And they were told the reason why this is happening is because the people of the Givonim have a complaint against Shaul. They lost their parnasa. They suffered collateral damage. So they said, what can we do for you? We want your children executed. We want... What?
How does that help?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I never understood this. And I'm afraid to tell you, I don't think there's anyone that really understands how this works today, living today. No one knows this is one of the biggest. No, they don't see. That's why they don't.
This also was against David.
Try to explain this to a fourth grade.
It was against Shaul.
Shaul killed Noiv Irak Rehanim. The Givonim lost their jobs. He wanted to kill David. Who's the one that pulled the trigger? It was Shaul. Shaul signed off, kill them all. He killed them all. So you would think that the descendants of the 85 Kohanim, they would come with complaints. No. You don't find anywhere that the children, the wives, and the children of the 85 descendants had any complaints. You don't find anywhere. You don't find any remez. They had any complaints. Who had complaints? The Goyim. The people who supplied the truck drivers. The truck drivers and the people who worked at the train station, they had complaints. The people who shoveled the snow had complaints. We lost our job. We supported, we had a parnasa by providing services for Noiv Irak Hanim, and because of what Shaul did, we lost our jobs. Yeah? Yeah, we had complaints. So what do they do? So what can we do for you? We want revenge. What do you mean revenge? We want the descendants, the living descendants of Shaul, we want to see them hanging in the streets. And David gave in. They went, they gave him a, what? You understand this? Try to explain this to a fourth grade. Even the greatest Gedolei Yisrael don't understand what this means. And you're going to explain this to a fourth grade, to a fourth grader. And he knows Tanakh. Listen, this is beyond, literally beyond our understanding. There's no way you can understand this. I don't know what this is all about. However, according to the Mefarsh that learned that this entire Mizmar is describing David and Shaul, this is what it says over here. And that's what all these Pesukim are describing. When the people, when the world, when Klal Yisrael saw the Mishpat, okay, what is that? When Klal Yisrael saw the exacting Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do something in this world, there are consequences. We live in a world today, there's no accountability. That's a terrible thing.
No, there is.
We live in a world of gashmius, is that basically you can do whatever you want, just don't get caught. And if you get caught, you get a good lawyer. And if you can't get it, just make sure you know the right people and you can wiggle out of anything. That is the attitude in the world we live in. Look, in the last couple of years, it's been horrific. There have been terrible, terrible things that have happened. Do you know even one person in government, even one person in government that has been held accountable for anything that happened in the last number of years?
Trump.
Do you know anything? Even one person has been held accountable? Okay, you don't think that this sinks in, that this subconsciously affects the person in his religion? The same way in the Olam HaGashmi, there's no accountability. Just be on the right team. If you're on the right team, then you win, no matter what. So too in Ruchnius. You're part of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael always wins. So just do whatever you want, just don't get caught. If you get caught, you get away with it. It's a terrible thing because it's not the way it works. In the Olam HaEmes, every single thing the person does, there is accountability. And teshuvah only goes that far. Teshuvah can clean things up to a degree if you even do teshuvah. Well, you can fool yourself. You go like this 25 times, that's it. So all you gotta do is go like this. Just take your hand and bang on your heart and shock a little bit. That's it, clean slate. Really? It's so easy? That's how easy it is? We unfortunately live in a world where we're affected. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was a different person. Because Moshe Feinstein said that when he was in Russia, he was a rav in Russia, and they called him, the KGB called him in, and they interrogated him, he literally saw his life fly before his face. And when you live in a country, communists, and they want to kill you, and they hate you, and they let you know they want to hate you, and they then the pachad of mi yichye mi yamos in this world is so real, it's very easy, not I don't know easy, but it's when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a whole different relationship. It's a whole different level of Yirah Shamayim. Look, we don't want to go back there. No one would ever dare go back to such a metzias. But we have to appreciate that we don't come to our previous generation where they lived in a world of mi yichye mi yamos. You live in a world where there's no accountability, then the same way in this world there's no accountability. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no account. Do whatever you want, just don't get caught. Everything is fine and good. It's a scary thing. Okay, it's a very, very scary thing. So when they saw, in this generation, when they saw what happened, that Shaul, who was Mishichmoy Ulamala, there was no one greater than Shaul HaMelech. And Shaul HaMelech, he believed lehalacha, that David was a roidev, and what he did was lehalacha, lehalacha. You know, das v'din, everything was done, not das v'danya. Das v'din. It was done das v'din. Everything was done kahalacha, and he was the gadol hadar. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about that his children, who are probably the greatest of the great, are hanging from the trees. The people were terrorized. There was an awareness that there is no escape from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is no escape. Everything a person does, no matter who you are. Who you are, there is no free lunch. There is a din v'cheshbon, and teshuva can do a lot if you do teshuva, and only goes that far. And this is the pachad that people here are experiencing over here when they're all of these things according to those mefarshim that learn that we're dealing over here with Shaul and David are going to learn these psukim as metaphors to describe the mishpat, the exactitude of Hashem's mishpat with Adam. No, he wasn't. You don't find anywhere. You don't find anywhere that David did any complaint. I never saw anything like that. I don't know anything, but the little bit that I've learned, I never ever heard such a thing. The story is such a difficult story to understand. How do you understand this? How come only the Gevonim, the 85 Kohanim, what about them? How come they didn't have any complaints? They were killed for no reason? These are the holiest of the holy. They were there in Noiv Yerakohanim.
Actually, he asked the Gevonim what to do. He asked them.
Yeah, and that's what they said. And they want revenge. They want revenge. A guy... Give them money. Today in California, they want to give every African-American. In California today, Newcomb, the governor there, has decided that they want to give every African-American $1.2 million. Reparations, right? $1.2 million. Right? Give money. Give them money. So we should appreciate at least, we should be very happy that Newcomb didn't say that the only way we can give restitution to these people is all the white people should be hung from the trees. isn't that what happened over here? Hang all the white people from the trees. That's the only way they'll be happy. Money. Give us money. Money is good. Give money. The Givonim didn't want money. The Gevonim didn't want a penny. They didn't want a penny. They wanted death.
They had it in the ass. Who cares?
Mark, I don't know the answers. These are the mysteries. And this is what the Mefarshim are going to learn over here. All right, now now that we've done the Mitzudais, let's for another minute or two just learn the Rashis. Here, by the side, let's learn the Rashis. Okay, very quickly, just a few Rashis. Pasuk Zion. Here, by the side, please, let's finish up. Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion. Over here, Mechin Harim B'Koychai. Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's Mechin. He prepares the mountain. B'Koychai. Shematzmiach Harim. Shehem Kashim. Shekashim. B'Koychai. Rashi is learning. Rabbi Yisai, please. Rashi is learning like the Mitzudos David. He learns that Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem. He establishes the mountains. The mountains have been established beforehand. Hashem here is now preparing vegetation. Hashem is Mesha. He causes the mountains to blossom. Shematzmiach hehorim shehim koshim. He is a little bit more than the mitzvah says. So big deal. There's grass out in your front lawn. Mark, there's grass in your front lawn? So there's grass on the mountain. No, your front lawn is soft. The mountains are rock hard. Hashem can even provide grass on a rock hard mountain? Really? Even that Hashem can do? Yep. Shematzmiach hehorim shehim koshim bikoichoi. With Hashem's might, he even can cause grass to grow on a hard mountain. Umezamein. See, here he types the word umezamein. He clearly says the word mechen means to be umezamein. Umechen bohen mizoinois. Because there are a lot of creatures living up there on the mountains. They also need food. There are some wild behemoths and chayas living up there. And they also need food. He provides mizoinois. Umechen moti prepares rain. Kid the sin of the pasik. Hamechen l'aritz matar hamatzmi chorim. Nezor bigvura. Because the gevura, we said before, is always associated with rain. Next, mashbiach. Everyone here tied to it, mashbiach the same. Mashpil. You see, maybe not the same. The mitzvah says silence. Sheket. Silence. He says he lowers. Okay, it's the same thing. He lowers. Mashpil v'chein v'chocham bo'ochor. Yeshab b'chena, I don't know what that means. Beso galov ata teshabrim, when the waves, they rise up. Hashem ata teshabrim, calm down, settle down, everyone, settle down, boys, behave yourself. Hashem, he lowers them, he silences them, he calms them down. Next Rashi, pasuk tes. Now here's a little bit different than we said before. Motzoei voiker voerev tarnin. Now look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't just stop and say, according to the mitzvah, it means when you observe, shelo yishanu es tafkidam, kiddush levana, you're filled with joy. It's such a pleasant thing in this world to see that there are things that are predictable. Think about that. It's an incredible concept, this concept. I can't get over it. Everything in this world really is unpredictable. The world is totally out of control today. Human beings are totally nuts. They're unpredictable. One day to the next, what they got next down on the pipeline for us? What's happening next? Unpredictability keeps you on the edge of your seat. But when you look at Hashem's world, it's predictable. And that's very reassuring. That's a very healthy thing to have stability. Shelo yishanu es tafkidam. That's what the Mitzudas David said. Rashi is something similar. L'cho es habrios. The humanity, they sing to you, Yoishvei HaKitzavai, it's those that live throughout the edges of the earth, Baboker, in the morning, they say, Boruch Yoitzer HaMe'oirois, Uva'erev Boruch Ma'ariv Arovim. Now we have a much greater appreciation of why we make these brachos in the morning. You don't hear about this. You look at the Mepharshim on the Siddur, they don't really talk about that. They don't say this pshat. This is a new pshat. When you make the bracha, Yoytzer Hamoros. What he's saying? Wow, there's still something left in this world that is predictable, that is in order.
The whole world is predictable. That's anais also.
What?
Even nature is anais.
Even nature is what?
Is considered anais.
We're not looking at it like that, right? That's not what he's saying. You're saying a different approach. You're right, but Ayin Palma Torah. Right now, there's a law. There's a world of nature. And in nature, it's very reassuring. A human being needs stability. And the fact that you wake up in the morning and you see that Shelo Yishanu Es Tafkidam, it's a very reassuring feeling to know that in this world, Hashem's world, there is stability.
But look at it globally. In the world, there is total stability, total predictability. It's humans.
Right, who are unpredictable.
Humans, which was something that God pulled out separately and said, you can be
unpredictable. Exactly.
But if we
don't appreciate this. Let us say, for example, we would live in a world, Hashem made a world where nothing would move. Nothing moves. The earth doesn't move. The sun, whatever, let's say, it's always the same. Nothing would move. Everything would just be like a stone. And everything would be the same. You just walk, but no movement.
That would be predictable.
This is here, it's going to be.
It's not, no, that's not predictable. That's not called predictable. If we lived in a world, think about it, nothing moved. The stars didn't move, the earth didn't move, everything is just exactly the same. The weather never changes, it's daylight 24/7, nothing moves. And then you look at humanity, and they're nuts, they're crazy, out of control. Where do you have to fall back on? You lose your mind in a second. You have to talk to a psychologist. We don't appreciate that the backdrop of our existence is a world of stability. And then when we see human beings behave in a certain way, okay, we have a balance. Hashem made a world that is stable. Because look, Shlo Yishanu es Tafkidam. We don't appreciate how deep it affects our frame of mind and our subconscious, the reassurance that we, Hashem, made a world that is stable, predictable, that is secure. Human beings, you want to be a meshugana? So you'll be a meshugana. Eventually, you'll calm down, you'll behave yourself. Because we have an example. We have a backdrop that we can contrast it to. If we did not have that contrast, that die, right? You always have to have a contrast. You go meshugah. It's an incredibly healthy reassurance. That's how he teaches the bracha. Why we think, because I want to finish up.
The statement that just no matter how much things change, they stay the same.
Yeah, that's okay. So it's late. I want to finish up. Pause. Let's finish the Rashi. Pokada to haaretz kishato chavitz leitiv ata pogedes aretz umashke. So when you Hashem, you want to, when you desire leheitiv, to do good, ata you poked, you remember. The word poked means remember. Hashem pokad esara, esaretz, umashke oisun, you give it water, you provide rain. Rabos ta'ashrena, harbe ata ma'asra. You give it, you enrich it with an abundance. Bipelek shel l'cha shehu molei maim, your canals, which are filled with water. V'tachin boy, you prepare digonam, their grain shall yoshvei kitzavos, the ends of the earth. Ki v'chein ata mechin oisa, that's the way you do things. That's how you've established the world. You've established it where everything is done in prep. You prepare the world for what it needs. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Tilo Meho, Hein Shur Samachanesha, these are the furrows. Ravei k'mo l'ravei, to satiate, to be mashke. Naches gidudecho, k'mo l'naches, like I'm just ending lament. Gidudecho, lehoniach ligdudecho, lasos nachas labrios, to provide satisfaction, serenity labrios. He tithes it the same way that we learned in the midst of the stuff. It means ligdudecho, means your legions. It means the people who live in this world. Labrios ata mimoygiga, you soften. Bervivim, with showers, shalmotar, timogigena, lishoin hamasa, to melt. To soften. You soften the earth with just the right amount. Like Goldilocks, not too hard, not too soft. Okay, so this is between the Pesukim, Rashi, Mitzudas. In the year of Hashem, tomorrow we'll look at some of the Mefarshim that they look at these Pesukim.
Okay.